FYI, and I don't mean fake news. This podcast contains huge spoilers.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 319 of the podcast that goes snicked. I'm your host, Jason Venable.
Snicked.
<laughs> And, man, I apologize for the tardiness of this episode. We got some stuff to cover. I have been traveling a lot for work, most recently to the Windy City, where it was very, very cold, but also pretty fun. But not really a lot of chance to sit down and talk about some comics. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to kind of catch us up on the books for the end of February. Kind of end some things, start some things, be in the middle of some things. You know how we do. But all things Wolverine. And I will say, definitely keep your ears peeled for me and the Excalibros talking about Uncanny, but I'm kind of sitting around waiting for them to announce a new Wolverine solo book at some point. Kind of seems like the next logical step of announcements, but I haven't heard anything yet, at least as of the time I'm sitting down to do this. So I'll definitely keep you guys posted as I hear stuff. Been lots of fun rumors around about who might play Wolverine in the MCU, but that's kind of so scattered. Don't really know what I would say about it. I think, and people are probably going to hate this, so I'll preface this with, I would love to hear some of your guys' thoughts on who you think might, should play Wolverine, and let's say maybe Sabretooth too, because I got a crazy one for you. Actually, the first half's not that crazy. After watching a season and change of the Punisher so far, and the way that John Bernthal is so feral when he kind of loses his control, I think he'd do a great Berserker with a more grim Wolverine. I don't think there's any way it happens. I think it's probably too similar of a character, so Bernthal would probably not be that interested. And I don't think Disney's going to go that direction with the character. Could be wrong on either account, but it doesn't seem like really either party would be that interested. But I think he could do a really cool job. Be a very interesting, kind of different thing. Very different from what we saw from Jackman. And I think maybe that's a good thing, right? I mean, you guys have heard me say before, if you've ever listened to the show, how much I just freaking adore Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. I think he personified the character, brought him to life, and even when he was in movies that weren't great, he was still awesome and was still very much Wolverine. But I think maybe the way you try to not have a letdown, you don't try to recast someone to try to be Hugh Jackman part two, right? You maybe focus on some different aspects of the character and find someone that can really breathe their own life into one of the different facets of Wolverine. So hopefully we'll see some of that. I also think, and there's no way in hell this happens, I'm almost even embarrassed to say it, but I really almost believe that it would be really fun to see The Rock as Sabretooth. I think he's got the build for it. I think he can be that kind of charming but nasty version of Sabretooth that is fun to read sometimes, and that we haven't really seen on screen yet. Even Liv Schreiber, who definitely, I think, did a good job with Sabretooth, other than the claws, but that's not his fault. He definitely gave him a lot more character than we saw in the X-Men movies proper, but I don't know if I necessarily say he was all, I don't know, it's a different kind of charm, and there's a certain aspect to Sabretooth where he's just kind of a nasty, charming guy, and just ruthless. But I don't know. I think you can really play on those early appearances of more of the bounty hunter type thing, or the mercenary. I think The Rock can really pull that off. Now, I don't think he will. I don't think anyone will ask him to, and I don't know if he could do just a straight villain at this point in his career. I just don't know. But anyway, I just thought it'd be interesting. You guys can tweet at me how much you hate that if you want, and that is fine. But I thought it was an interesting little just fanfic, I guess. Fanfic casting. Oh, but anyway, also coming up soon in this episode, we have some thoughts from Mr. Al Sedano. Will bring us some. Looking forward to that. He's going to talk about some Infinity Watch with us. So that'll be cool. But before we get to that, it's time to wrap up. Return of Wolverine has concluded with issue number 5. This is written, of course, by Charles Soule, penciled by Steve McNiven, inks by Jay. Shh, listen. Colors by Laura Martin, letters by VCs Joe Sabino, and the cover is by Steve McNiven and Sonny Go. And this cover is pretty awesome. I would say it's even an early contender. I mean, it's only February. Who knows how it'll stack up all year long? But it's an early contender for a Wovie Award for Best Cover. There's just something really cool about it. It's Logan, hot claws and all, basically being thrust out of a satellite above the Earth and stuff being sucked out. And he's trying not to. And everything inside the space station is in a red hue. And you see, obviously, the black of space and then the Earth below him. But then there's almost like a white light shining on his chest. So cast him in a lot of shadow with bright whites. It's really cool. And, you know, the red lobster claws actually look kind of cool on this cover. I know. So anyways, it's a great cover. All right, so chapter 4 of this series, I felt finally kind of got us somewhere. And so Wolverine is off to chase Persephone to her space station. And that's what he does. And he gets up there in his nice Buck Rogers suit. And he meets her, or a hologram of her. And she talks about her master evil plan. So she's brought all the best of the best up to this space station to restart the Earth. And she's gonna kill everybody on Earth, but then reanimate them with her powers, but not to be people, to be like worker drones for the society on the space station. So they can kind of rebuild the Earth the way they want to. And these few that she selected, the brightest of the bright, the most creative of the creative, you know, artists, scientists, doctors, all the people that she loves and is convinced to take this journey with her. They will kind of puppeteer the rebuilding of the Earth and then, you know, eventually re-inhabit it, but she will take control. We find out, kind of unfortunately, that she brought Wolverine to life. She raised him, thought he'd be a good weapon, but something happened, something with his healing factor, which if he's dead, does he still have a healing factor? If he's resurrected, I don't know about that. I guess he could. I mean, his genes would be the same, I guess. So there's no real change to the DNA. So if you just reanimate it, I don't know. Anyway, but he does. And that somehow makes him special. So she's like his prized, or he's her prized possession. Like proof that maybe if she can find a way to unlock the secrets of Wolverine, she can bring people back that aren't just automatons for her, like they can actually be truly free, resurrected people. Of course, Wolverine's not buying any of it, so he gets gassed and starts to have severe leprosy. But he gets a snicked and he says, "Next, lady, next time I die, I'm staying dead." And he cuts through the glass and busts out and goes into space. But then he claws his way back into the station, threatens some doctors. One of them was like, "You know what? I think this has gotten a little crazy anyway, so I'm going to help you out." And they find where all the satellites are and where they're aimed with their death rays. And he one by one makes them fall out of the sky. And of course, they burn up on reentry and stuff. And He's like, well, there's one more dot. What's that one? And the guy's like, this one? And he's like, well, you dropped that one too. And the guy's like, but we'll die. And he's like, that's fine. Shut it down. And then the launch sequence kicks off. So Persephone, I guess, noticing that all her satellites fell out of the sky, is going to use this last one to at least kill a couple million people. So, you know, she can at least do part of her plan still. Wolverine finds out where he needs to go to stop it, and he pops his claws with a snick, and that's what he's going to do. Inside, we have different versions, characteristics of Wolverine embodied by different versions of Wolverine asking to be let out as he cuts his way through the decks. And it's kind of like his chance to get his memories back, and he's going to. So even though Persephone has said, you can start over. Just be with me, a clean slate. You know, you don't have to have all these memories. You can just have the memories I gave you. You know, but he mentally lets everyone out except for the Berserker. He leaves him tied up. And the guy, you know, the Berserker yells at him, I'll always be here. I'm still here. And then Wolverine continues to just cut through people. He does eventually meet Persephone, and he cuts the controls and knees, and the satellite falls down through the earth. He burns up, and he lands in the sea. Some fishermen find him, and he's a charred red corpse. And he says, please tell me you got some beer. And he goes back to the Xavier Institute in Central Park, and rings the doorbell, and someone answers the door, and that's the end. So, Niven's art, pretty great. The story, definitely feels like 4 and 5 together definitely actually seem to tell a story, which is cool. I feel like the first 3 issues kind of just meandered along, setting up without really setting much up, and then the payoff was all in 4 and 5. So this payoff, I mean, it's pretty decent. I don't know. I kind of wish maybe someone else or something else had resurrected Wolverine, but it's fine. Persephone's a fine, I don't know. Is she a fine villain? She's kind of one note. But anyway, she's there, so she raised him. He lets all his personalities and that becomes the whole Wolverine, complete with good and bad memories and all his history. He's at least temporarily keeping the worst part of him kind of in check, though he's still pretty brutal in this book, so I don't really know. I guess he's just controlled brutality, not out of control brutality. Still with his, what's it called? Shoot, what's the faculties? He still has his faculties about him. What is a facilities? Would you like to use the facilities? The facilities are right down the hall. No, but he has his faculties about him still, and I guess that's the key difference. I mean, overall, it's a good end to the story, I think. A good end to a not great story. What does that make it? I don't know. I think with the art, I'm going to give this 4 out of 6 claws. So the last panel bleeds into our next book, and it kind of all makes one thing. I mean, Wolverine is Wolverine. So I think whether you like the story or not, he definitely seems to get Logan, at least. And Logan acts and talks like he would probably act and talk, and so... Yeah, and I think all that said, it's a fairly satisfying end to a not all that satisfying story. And that makes it maybe sound like it shouldn't be a 4, but I still enjoyed it enough, especially with the art, that I would give it 4 out of 6 claws. I'm kind of glad he's back. So now we're going to move to Wolverine Infinity Watch, and as I said, Al Sedano is going to give us some thoughts. So I really appreciate that. I'll go ahead and do like a quick recap, and then do his thoughts, and then do my thoughts. That sounds like a good good order to go in. So this book is intended to clarify all of the Return to Wolverine shenanigans, how he's kind of been all over the place and inconsistent. We have Old Man Phoenix Wolverine and, you know, all those cameos that didn't really seem to fit, and now he's back in Uncanny already, and it's just, it's been kind of a mess. You know, maybe I should give Return less points because it's been such a mess. But that's not that story's individual fault. I think it's Marvel kind of collectively at fault. Wolverine Infinity Watch number one. Written by Jerry Duggan. Art by Andy MacDonald. Colors by Jordy Belair. Letters by VCs Corey Pettit. Woohoo! And the cover by Giuseppe Cavancoli, Roberto Poggi, and Dean White. It's a pretty rad cover. It's basically the Infinity Gauntlet being thrust fist up into space, and then three claws popping out of the gauntlet. Not something you really see in the story, but it's a cool image, and if you're going to have a Wolverine Infinity Watch, kind of seems the right kind of artistic mashup that you would want to see. You know, kind of like when characters have crossovers, like, you know, you see, like, the Punisher skull with spider webs, like the Spider-Man mask on it, or a Wolverine cow with the Punisher skull, you know, showing, it's just kind of an interesting way to represent the characters being together. So, we have Wolverine Infinity Watch. So, basically, we have Wolverine being a little bit confused about all the times he's died or almost died, and the time he really died, and then came back, and now he's back, and he's in his traditional Western garb, and he goes to the school slash center, institute, that's the word I'm looking for, in Central Park, and he's about to knock on the door, and the shadowy figure from issue 5 of Return of Wolverine is Jean Grey. And he's like, oh, man, it's great. And she's in, like, a tube top, because those are still in fashion. Are they coming back? That's part of 90s style is coming back. That part could stay away. Anyway, she gives him a hug, but, of course, he smells that something's wrong. And he snicks, and he stabs her in the ribs. And the whole thing was a mirage. It's Loki. The school, the institute's not really there. It's all destroyed. Loki's like, oh, well, that was worth it. And Loki's like, I don't know what happened, but I knew you might come back here. There's a part where he picks up a picture of the all-new X-Men, the original five, with Kitty yelling at him. And Wolverine seems a little bit confused, but I think maybe he's just more upset because Bobby is peeing ice cubes. And, you know, Jean Grey's face palming. Maybe he's just saying the shenanigans never happened when he ran the school. I think he knows, he should remember that the original five came back. So Loki's complaining about the Infinity Stones. He says, you know, I came to you to get the stone, and you wouldn't give it to me, and now everything's all crazy. And Wolverine's like, what are you talking about? And Loki's like, what happened in Infinity Prime? Is that the book that was in? Legacy, maybe? Whatever book that was where we had the really nice Isan Ribic art and Loki was trying to get the stone from... Or no, that may have been a different one. That's when he just had the stone. When Loki tried to get it, was a different one, I think. But anyway, but Logan has no memory of this at all. But then Phoenix Wolverine shows up and says, sup, bub. And Wolverine, our Logan, is like, you gotta be kidding me. And Loki has an awesome line. He says, wait, you didn't know about the other you? See, there aren't too many of you. And Logan's surprised that he has the Phoenix. He also has the time vat with the diamonds. He grabs some like Phoenix beer. His future self warns him not to drink it. And Loki's like, "Oh, it was you." Yeah, Marvel Legacy number one. That's what I was thinking of. And he says, "It was you that drove that beer wagon into me." And Logan's like, "I get a beer wagon?" And the future fiery Logan says, "What good is all the power if you can't enjoy it?" So they fight about it, and we find out that all the other Logan appearances that don't really make sense with Return of Wolverine was future Phoenix Wolverine impersonating his old self. And they talk about what happened with the Infinity Stones and Infinity Wars with Gamora and all that, how all the stones are out and about. So there was a timeline where Loki got the stones and killed Thanos, but he didn't really like what happened, and that was that. So he undid it and got back, and Gamora got them. Anyway, all that Infinity War stuff that happened. And so they talk about the Infinity Warps, and then how Adam Warlock gave the stones agency, and then we have this Hetra guy who gets the Time Stone, and they want future Wolverine wants Wolverine and Loki to protect him. And there's a Chitauri that senses one of the stones is still on Earth, and he's coming after it. And he's looking for Texas. He's gonna go to Texas to get Hector. I don't know if this really clears anything up or not. I mean, I guess it gives a nice little excuse that yeah. The Logan we thought was Logan was not. It was really future Phoenix Logan. You know what? This sounds like a good place to stop and listen to see what Al had to say. So Al Sedano has the Adam Resurrections, Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast, and so this is kind of tangentially related to the content he talks about, even though there's no Thanos or Adam Warlock here, but he does. Let's talk about it. And also I saw him tweet about how he was reading this, and since there was an Infinity Gauntlet on the cover and he tweeted about it, I said, "Hey Al, you wanna send me some thoughts?" And so he did. He was very gracious enough to do that. So definitely go check out his podcast about Adam Warlock and Thanos, and yeah, Al, let's see what you have to say.
Hey Jason and all you SNICT lovers. This is Al from Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast here. Jason knows I picked up the first issue of Wolverine Infinity Watch, because even though neither Adam or Thanos appears in it is still somewhat related to them. So he asked me if I had any thoughts on the issue. Here goes. First of all, I really do enjoy seeing Wolverine and Loki together. It's a combination I never even thought about before, but it's great. If anyone listening who enjoyed that hasn't read it before, check out Infinity Countdown Prime for more Locarine action. Now, there were a few things I was confused about, though. So, the main Wolverine wasn't the one we saw in Infinity Countdown? I thought from all the promotion at the time about Wolverine's return that it was the real Logan showing up. But it wasn't. Also, why did it look like Wolverine was confused by the picture of Kitty and the time-displaced X-Men? Or the fact that the mansion was destroyed. He was still alive when the young versions of the original X-Men showed up, and the mansion was destroyed several times since he joined. Neither of those things should be a surprise to him. Now, it may sound like I'm complaining a lot, but really those bits were my only real problem there. Overall, I enjoyed the issue. I'm looking forward to the next one, and I have my alcoholism chariot all ready to hit up my LCS next month. Back to you, Jason.
All right, thank you so much, Al. And again, please go find Al on Twitter with the at Adam. Oh no, what's the actual address? It's Resurrections, the Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast. His Twitter handle is at Adam Thanos Pod. So go give Al and his podcast a follow. He doesn't always necessarily promote his personal Twitter, so I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, but I feel like if you want to go follow him, he's Cash Flag, which is at Rebus02. So go give Al a follow on Twitter. Let him tell him thanks for coming on the show, or sending us some thoughts. So, yeah, I'm glad he enjoyed it. Wolverine should not be confused about the original five. Or about the school being destroyed. Because the original five definitely were here before he died. I don't know. I guess it depends on how you read the line, "Never happened when I ran the school." Because he does say that right after he finds a photograph of the original five in Kitty Pride. And so if you read, and you could, like the way that Al read it makes sense. Not necessarily what I jumped to first, but I definitely see what he says. If that's what he's confused about, then that's just a miscue in the writing, because Wolverine would know about the 05. I mean, he was there, part of their first story. And as far as the Institute, maybe he wasn't here when this particular destruction of the Institute happened, but like Al mentioned, he's lived through many, many, many destructions of Xavier's school, Jean Grey's school, Xavier's Institute, whatever you want to call it. It's been destroyed about a million times, and Wolverine's been there for about 990,000 of them. So maybe he would want to know what happened this time, and that we kind of kick off into where he goes in Uncanny, right? Trying to track down Cyclops and see what's going on, where the X-Men are. Maybe that would have been a better thing to reference here than the original five. Play more into where his continuity is going versus trying to put stuff together that doesn't really matter as much to this story. So I really enjoyed the art. I like Andy McDonald. I thought the art was good. Like Al, I also enjoy kind of all the banter. And Dugan is good at that. But I can kind of leave or take, maybe is the right word, Phoenix, Old Man Wolverine. But Logan and Loki together, or Loki, Lokarine, is that what Al called him? Is a fun concept, right? Like them two trying to go off and do stuff together. It can be pretty interesting. I like kind of the dynamic between them. I think Dugan can really do that pretty solidly. That's the kind of thing that would be his strength. So that's cool. I really enjoyed the art. The story could be fine. Wolverine and Loki fighting the Chitauri Warbringer or whatever his name is. Could be cool. I don't know if there's enough here to really get excited about this issue so much. Oh, man. I'm right on the edge of 3 or 4 claws. I'll see where it goes. Right now, I'm at a very solid 3 out of 6 claws for Wolverine Infinity Watch number 1. But again, Al, thank you so much. That's Al from the Resurrections, Adam Warlock, and Thanos podcast. And I thank you for sending me a few thoughts. I really appreciate it. You're a gentleman and a scholar. All right. So next up, I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to mention it briefly. Hulkverines number 1. Written by Greg Pak. Art by Ario Anandito. Colors by Maury Hollowell with Andrew Crossley. Letters by VC's Joe Caramagna, and cover by Greg Land and Frank DiAmarta. The cover is actually pretty good. It's Weapon H fighting Hulk and Wolverine. But it's a pretty good cover. I like Greg Land's Hulk. Always kind of have, so that's pretty cool. Alright, so Weapon H. I have not read much of that series at all. Some of it is on Marvel Unlimited now, so I skimmed through a few issues. It's not terrible. Not really that good either, but it's not terrible. But anyway, I guess he, like... So the whole thing is that Roxxon tries to take control of Weapon H, and of course he refuses, but then there's a part where there's something to do with Weird World, and so, yeah, I guess Dario Agger doesn't like what he did, so he's out to get Weapon H now. Kind of that, if I can't have him, nobody can. So that's kind of where we pick up, but, you know, now we have the crazy Immortal Hulk, and there's some people in a shadow base facility in Ohio, and that's where the leader is being held. And so these guys come to the leader and say, hey, we need help stopping this crazy rampaging Hulk, who's now immortal. And the leader's like, okay, but he takes a roll of paper and kills the guy because he's the leader and he can do stuff with his brain. And then he throws another piece of paper out, and the guard slips on it and breaks his neck. And the leader says, O'Doyle rules! Then we see the Hulk fighting the Avengers, which just happened in his comic. He's about to smash the Ghost Rider mobile. And then in Erie, Pennsylvania, we see Weapon H and his family, in his human form, of course. But his family's back together. I guess that's where that series ended up. And he wants to keep them together. They're kind of on the run. They go to their newest safe house. And he starts sneezing. And one of my favorite moments of the book, we get an achoo snicked. Where he snicks involuntarily because he's sneezing out of control. And so he figures something's going on. And he tells the wife to take the kids and they'll meet up according to their plan C. And then he runs out into the woods and finds some tire tracks. And he continues sneezing and snicking. But this guy he's fighting is it's Banner. Yeah, so he's chasing Bruce Banner around. Because he is here to stop Weapon H. I don't really know why. Okay, hold on. I may have read this too quickly, guys. I just kind of flipped through it. So Banner is tracking down Weapon H because he's too dangerous. And I think just because he's jealous there's another Hulk running around. So he's suspicious that he's sneezing Weapon H because his healing factor shouldn't allow him to catch a cold. So that's why he's all worried. And then, so they confront each other and fight some. They both Hulk out, but one of them's gray with claws, one of them's green. They fight some more. The leader who gave them both the cold and makes them both have gamma germs and gamma sneezes. He's watching and waiting and watching them fight and excited about it. And then, you know, he proves his brain power. He knows about Plan C and he's going to get his family. But then a bunch of floaty bombs find him or something. Anyway, he's mad at the leader. And he's about to kill the leader, but he gets stopped. And he gets stopped by Wolverine, who says, normally don't butt in on someone else's fight like this, but I'll make an exception for chumps who are biting my style, which is probably the most un-Wolverine thing he's ever said. Like, I don't know. This book, man. The art is okay. I guess it's okay. I don't really care for this story. None of it really seems to have much real motivation or make any sense or feel all that connected. And Wolverine, like, shows up on the last page. So I guess he'll do more in the story that's going to probably just be a big old, huge old fight without much real reason. By far the best thing about this comic is the cover and the sneezing Snicks. That is definitely the highlight. And while funny, probably should not be the best thing about a comic book. So anyway, I'm going to give Hulk Marines number one, 2 out of 6 claws. I'm sorry if my anti-Hulk Marine bias is showing. Maybe I didn't give it enough of a chance, but I just don't care. I'm sorry. If you like it, man, then if you like the Weapon H series or his introduction to Weapon X, you'll probably like this book. I mean, it's just kind of feels like a lot of more of the same. And there's lots of big old things with claws fighting each other. And if that's enough for you, then this book has that for sure. So and that's not saying there's anything wrong if you have different tastes than me. I need a little bit more than that at this point in my comic reading career. You'll either think it's really fun or you'll be really frustrated by how thin the connective tissue is. And either one of those, I think, is appropriate, depending on how you want to read it. So for me, I was a little frustrated, but if you just want to kind of turn your brain off and have fun with it, I think you could do that as well. And I feel like I just unintentionally insulted you if you like the book. Not saying you have to turn your brain off and be brainless to like it. Oh, gosh, someone get this guy a shovel so he can dig it. Keep digging this hole. Forget it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm going to move on to Dead Man Logan, which I really, really like. No, I'm not. I'll move on to Dead Man Logan in a second. First, I'm going to talk about Marvel Comics Presents number 2, which has a cover by Arthur Adams, which is a classic Wolverine pose, and then he's flanked by the other two stories, Mr. Fantastic and Gorilla Man. So our Wolverine story, The Vigil, Part 2, written by Charles Soule, penciled by Paulo Siqueira, inked by Oren Jr., colors by Frank DiMarta, letters by VC's Joe Caramagna. And basically Wolverine's in the 50s, 10 years after Part 1, and he's got a Fonzie look going, and he's riding a motorcycle, and he gets teleported away by the gypsy girl. Because the truth, the demon from issue 1, is 10 years later, and he's ready to come back. And she's going to find him, and then she runs away because she's scared. But then she comes back because she realizes it's up to her to stop him. And she's like, we just got to contain him. You find him, I'll cast my spell. Just buy me time. And he's like, so there's no way to kill this guy, huh? We'll see about that. That's the most Wolverine part of this book, where he's like, we'll see, and he pops his bone claws, and he's going to go to town. Next issue. Meh. Wolverine fighting demons is not my favorite. And other than the last panel, not a whole lot to sink your teeth into as far as Wolverine character. The Mr. Fantastic and Gorilla Man stories are both kind of just meh. I think as a whole comic, Marvel Comic Presents 2 out of 6 claws. So now, we're going to talk about Dead Man Logan. So, this is number 4 out of 12. Sins of the Father, Part 4. Written by Ed Brisson. Art by Mike Henderson. Colors by Nolan Woodard. And letters by VC's Corey Pettit. Woohoo! The cover is by Declan Shalvey. And it's Old Man Logan and kind of a Luke Skywalker, Empire Strikes Back, medical tank of water and hooked up to tubes. But he's got his claws out. He's nice and naked. And it's all in a sepia tone. It's a cool cover. I need to look back. I'm trying to figure out if the Dead Man Logan, which is in white with red blood dripping down, if it's growing through the logo, which each issue, I think it might be. I need to look at the first 3 and see. So I'll check that out soon. I'll report back to you. So anyway, we open with him in that same tube with the X-Men wondering if he's going to be alright. Remember, they just kind of ripped him out of the Avengers' hands after he attacked them, thinking they were Mysterio. And they've taken him back to Forge's lab in an undisclosed location. And Dr. Cecilia Reyes is like, I don't know, he's dying. Like, and every time he uses Regenix, it halves his life expectancy. Then we go back to Hawkeye and Pizza Dog in Brooklyn, and Mysterio shows up and says, please don't shoot me. I got tricked. I don't want to do this. The bad guys are going to kill me when I'm done. I don't want to make Old Man Logan kill everybody. I want to help him kill the Hydra goofoons. And Clint's like, well, it's going to be a hard sell, but we can give it a shot. So then at the Hydra base, they're arguing over who let Mysterio get away. Crossbones and Miss Sinister have a kind of a tete-a-tete, but she blasts him with her diamond beam, kind of puts him in his place. Then Sin butts in and says, hey, we need to work together to find Mysterio. Let's do this. So naked Old Man Logan is studying his claws. Jubilee shows up and is like, here's a towel to cover up your little snicker. And he asks how many people he killed. She's like, none. We got you out before it got too bad. And he's like, well, it's still my fault. Cecilia gets in his face about using the Regenix, even though it's going to kill him. The way they draw Glob in this book is every time his skull mouth under his pink goo is always agape. Like, he's always in constant shock. It's kind of a funny look. It's very humorous. And then Clint and Mysterio show up. They know where the lab is. And there's a funny little thing where Mysterio's like, okay, well, I can't look like Mysterio, so I look like somebody else. So he does Professor X, and Clint's like, dead? Cyclops? Still dead, I think? Jean Grey? No. Cable? Also dead. And Mysterio says, how do you keep track? He's like, I don't know. Then he does Maggot, I think? And Hawkeye's like, I don't even know who that is. And then we see a shadowy figure, and Clint's like, bingo. So Hydra is hunting down where Mysterio was. They kill the old lady from the old person's home that he was maybe in love with, at least having some kind of friendship relationship with. So they kill her. And then they show up. Old Man Logan smells him, pops his claws. And we find out the Mysterio's kind of disarming image was Jubilee, but Jubilee's already in the room. So even if Logan didn't smell him, there's two Jubilees. He's got to know something's up. So he's going to kill him, but the guys stop him. He turns back into regular Mysterio. And they're like, hey, he wants to help us. And so they feel like it's probably a trap. Even if it is a trap, they can still take out the Hydra bad guys because they're just that cool. So they go along with it anyway. And then go to Hydra base to be continued. The book was really fun. Henderson continues to just kill it on the art and wood it on the colors. It looks so, so good. Just such a good looking book. And just still really fun. A little bit of a down issue as far as like not as much action, but I don't know, just still feels really good. I really love this book. It's got heart, it's got soul. It's got some violence from time to time. It's got naked old guys. I'm really, really enjoying this issue. I don't know if this one's quite... Yeah, I gave all three of the first issues a 6 out of 6. I think in conjunction with those, I'm still there on this one. It may be... If I was to be completely... honest, this one may be more of a 5. I'm enjoying this book so much, I don't really care. So I'm going to go ahead and give it the benefit of the doubt and give it 6 out of 6 claws. So that takes us to our last comic of the episode, which is Black Widow number 2. This is written by Jen and Sylvia Soska, art by Flaviano, colors by Veronica Gandini, letters by VC's Joe Caramagna, and cover by Clayton Crane. I can maybe do with a different cover. We have a Tiger and Black Widow fighting, but Tiger has got her boobs about to pop out of her dress, in a dress that split all the way up past the hip and just showing some leg and some machine gun. It kind of reminds me of, it's been a long time since I don't know if I thought about this or I already said this. Oh, man. Anyway, if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. It's been a long time since I've really cared about firearms. But back when I was a kid and was reading just G.I. Joe and Punisher, I cared a lot about firearms. I was really interested in them. And would sometimes get some gun magazines and stuff. And I remember there was always ads for gun magazines of, like, hot chicks with guns. That's kind of what this cover reminded me of. Like, some hot chick, like, showing a lot of leg and a lot of boob and with a big gun. So, yeah. There's that. So, remember, Black Widow came to Madripoor and is being Lady Patch, and is helping Tiger, and she runs into this just really foul organization that is torturing people online, and people bid to watch it and kind of control the destiny, and it's called No Restraints Play, kind of a dumb name, but whatever. And so Black Widow fights this guy, this kind of gangster pirate guy, and takes his gang out. And this is some brutal stuff. This book is very, very violent. Which is funny, because it's kind of cartoony and very bright colors in places, but just uber violent. But she makes an example out of them and ties their broken bodies to their car and drives it into town and says, "Whoever can help me can help me. Whoever I find out that's involved in this and not helping me, you're going to pay." So then we see Sabretooth, which is why I'm talking about this. So he's back in Madripoor, being his charming, ruthless self, like he tends to be. And he's got some girls around, and then Black Widow sees some guys playing pool, hears them talking about No Restraints Play, says, "Hey, I thought that website was going down. I thought Black Widow scared it, or Patch scared everybody." And they're like, "Nah, man. Ain't gonna scare us. You interested?" And she doesn't really get what she wants, so she beats him up with pool balls and cue sticks, including shoving a cue stick down a guy's throat. Like I said, very, very brutal, very violent. So anyway, they are not able to hack him, and they get a lead. But an old lady comes to see her and says, "I hear you're threatening to shut this thing down. My daughter needs help." And just this little girl whose hands have been cut off and she's been beat up. And this really, really bothered me. And we kind of see the video of these men on a boat. And there's some kind of insinuated, maybe, sexual abuse stuff from some people pulling their clothes back on. I don't like this. And they see a mark, a tattoo on a guy's arm, an NRP, no restraints play tattoo on the guy that actually cut off her hands. And so Black Widow's going to use that. And there's a meeting on a boat, and Sabretooth and Baron Zemo are both invited, and Taskmaster is there, which doesn't... So continuity-wise, I have some questions, but we'll get to that in a second. But one of the guys on the boat is the guy with the tattoo, and Black Widow sees it, and she's about to shoot him, but she gets hit by Madam Mask. And so, okay. Art is interesting, it's very stylized, it's fine, definitely very, very violent. The story is... it's almost too disturbing in a way, too, I don't know. So it's stories like this, right, and you think of kind of the real world parallels, like human trafficking, stuff like that, and that's stories I think that make you wish that there were, like, really people out there like the Black Widow and the Punisher just tearing these terrible people to pieces. Funny, on the plane ride to Chicago, I finally watched The Equalizer, which, you know, because there's no such thing as a bad Denzel movie, or at least not a bad Denzel portrayal. And the movie is a little, it's very, very testosterone-y. But, you know, it's kind of that thing like, yeah, it was uber violent, and it was just a revenge story, but it was about, you know, sex slave stuff. They didn't go into real detail, but nothing too graphic about that. But that was the gist. He was trying to save a girl that got beat up and was kind of trapped in this prostitution thing against her will. And he just goes to town and takes everybody out. And it's really, there's something cathartic about knowing that these people out there, just nothing is being done to stop them. And you know, there's some people that are definitely trying. But it feels like, you know, it's so hard to get a handle on that and for us to really find ways to put an end to that, you know, no matter how desperately we need to, that's the part where you can kind of, that even a sensible person can kind of give in and say, you know what, maybe there could be like a guy who just takes it in his own hands and take care of these folks. And that's kind of what this Black Widow story is, right? Is you kind of are rooting for Black Widow, even though she's just being super violent. But these people are such terrible scumbags that you're kind of like, okay, yeah. I don't want to talk about the little girl anymore. That really kind of did not sit well with me. So that part, I mean, it's fine. Continuity-wise, Taskmaster is generally not this evil. So we're trying to figure out who the new prince is, the new prince of Madripoor. And that he's a guy that may be behind this ring, this new crime ring. Maybe not. But Taskmaster is with him. But Taskmaster has been running around doing other things across the Marvel Universe. So not sure how he got really tied into this. Baron Zemo kind of makes sense. You know, they even mentioned him being the ruler of Galia right now, like the current Punisher series. So maybe he would come check this thing out. Madame Mask is also generally not been just this downright evil. She's more of a kind of a flamboyant bad guy. You know, particularly like looking at what she's done like in the Hawkeye series of late. Both of them, and even West Coast Avengers. But yeah, she's here. The one that I'm having the hardest trouble connecting to is Sabretooth. Because yes, he has been uninverted back to his nasty self, but when last we saw him at the end of Weapon X, which was his last appearance, publishing-wise, he had been so inverted back that he was like, he ran off through the woods like a wild animal. And here, he's definitely not a nice dude, but he's very much in control. Very much just kind of a thug Sabretooth. You know, he's running around, he's at bars, he's hitting on girls, he's kind of a potty mouth, but we don't really get to see him fight, which I hope we do next issue. But he's definitely not out of control by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't know, are we going to get a story where he kind of reins that back in? Or are we just going to say, hey, this story doesn't really fit in any particular place, but then why tie Zemo specifically back to the Punisher story? It's weird when people try to have it both ways of continuity, and I don't like that. So, what to grade this book? I feel like, I don't know. I feel like a 2 is harsh. But it's one of those books that even though there's parts of it that I thought were interesting, I think the subject matter, I didn't really enjoy it. I'm not saying that it's bad or poorly done, though some of the dialogue is a little rough. It's a little stiff in places. But I just didn't... I didn't enjoy it. If you're really into, like really dark, kind of disturbing comics, this is maybe more for you. And nothing to say that there's not a place for that kind of Black Widow story, right? I mean, she is trying to kind of get all her aggression out, you know, as a clone, which I didn't realize she was a clone. But I think I said that already, too. Okay, I can't remember what I said when I talked about the first issue. Some of this is feeling really, really repetitive. So I don't know if I just was organizing my thoughts and thinking I recorded that, or if I actually talked about all this last time. So I apologize. Anyway, but yeah. So at the end of that tells a suspense story. It wasn't her destroying all the clones. It was her in a clone body destroying the other clones. And so she's trying to figure out where she fits back into life, how she's going to be a hero, where she has just kind of this uncontrollable rage. And, yeah. So there's that. Yeah, I don't know. I think just for my, not speaking specifically to quality, but just my enjoyment, it's going to have to be 2 out of 6 claws for me. So... anyway, that's all our books for February. We ended Return of Wolverine. We started Infinity Watch. And Dead Man Logan is flying right along, flying high. So, want to again say thank you to Al Sedano for sending some brief thoughts on Infinity Watch. And, yeah, go check him out, like I said. So, that's going to do it. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I don't know what'll be next, but until then, you can like the Facebook page. Twitter is at SnickCast, and we will see you soon. So, until next time, hugs and snicks, everybody. Bye-bye. And snacked.